Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Redmen TV. It is the uncensored match build-up show as Liverpool prepare to take on Southampton away from home. 19 points clear. We are brought to you in association with Football Index. As you will know, Paul has the Redmen TV's portfolio. There'll be an update to how he's getting on later on in the show, but do go over and check out the Football Index YouTube channel. I'll put a link in the description. It's absolutely brilliant stuff. The app is brilliant. Paul is really enjoying this. And as I say, we're going to get into it regardless. So I am joined by Adam Rowe, by Ben Kelly, and by Errol. I do not know your surname, Errol. So we'll just say just Errol for this one. I don't know why I always have to fucking say the surnames when there's one person in the room that I don't know the surname of. It's ridiculous. It's like I'm showing off.
He's like
I don't know
Cher
yours.
Anyway. He doesn't have a surname.
The S. Smith.
If you'd have actually had a guess, you'd have probably got it right there, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Liverpool taking on Southampton. Adam, Southampton are in pretty good form and Daniel Ings is their danger man, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'm not arsed.
It's a fair point. Why?
Because we're the best team in the world and Southampton are not. And it'll, as far as I'm concerned, it comes down to that. I expect us to win the game again. I expect us to win it in the same style. You know, we beat the likes of West Ham and where we beat Sheffield United in that we'll get a couple of goals and then go, come and get the ball off us. Danny Ings can't score if he hasn't got the ball.
It's kind of the end of the show, really, I suppose. not more to say. I agree with everything that Adam said. We'll plough on regardless.
There's not much more insight I can give him.
We're the best team in the world. Mm-hmm. We're going to win this game. Southampton do need a little bit of credit, though. I mean, I know they've not beaten us very often at all. In fact, we've won our last five against them, scoring 13 and conceding two. So I bet you wish you stuck around for that. Mm. But they are playing really well at home. In fact, on form, they're the third best side in the league.
Yeah, the way they deserve a lot of credit since losing 9-0 at home to Leicester, the way Hasenhüttl has regathered them, you know, regrouped, clearly gone back to the drawing board, sat down and sorted out the problems.
Can I just say,
deserves a lot of credit for that.
I love when a manager gets the chance to do that.
Oh, yeah, easy for them to just press the panic button after that. And he's a fantastic manager, obviously. You know, I know he's Austrian, you know, he's very smiley, so people draw those natural comparisons to Klopp, you know, in terms of his personality style. But, you know, that's what you need. He's clearly a good personality around the club, and I think it was very sensible for them to keep him on board, because if anybody was going to be able to get them through that tough period, it is somebody with that type of personality. And you can see he's repaid them with that, you know, by as I say, sitting down and doing what a good football manager should and solving the problem with the team. He's made them a lot more difficult to play against. He's tightened them up defensively, and he's got tuning out Danny Ings, you know, on a consistent basis. You know, he's been fantastic. He's been scoring all the goals. They've got good central midfield players to provide him with that as well. And I think, yeah, you're right. You know, they do deserve a lot of credit for them to be ninth, given where they were, you know, late October time, going into the Christmas period, where they played all those games. Everybody played a lot of games, but to come out of this period now, where they are, given how bad things got, I think, you know, you're almost looking at, you know, in the next few weeks, you know, you'll be talking, as we get towards the end of the season, I mean, Klopp, for me, is almost a shoo-in, but in terms of manager of the season, you can almost owe him in that conversation because of the way he's turned things around.
Yeah, I mean, look, Errol, you know, recently he's beaten Palace, he's beaten Leicester, he's beaten Chelsea, and he's beaten Tottenham. I think we've got 13 points from the last 18, which is the same, I think, as Manchester City as well. These are good sides that they're beating.
Yeah, I've seen it. It was on Sky the other day saying the real winners of the Christmas and the January fixtures. And I think, as you were saying, and he was third on that list because of obviously beating the game teams you've just said there. And I think, am I worried ultimately? No, because of how good we are. But if we're just giving it isolate for them for a moment and just put the lens on Southampton, you've got to commend them for what they've done and how they've managed to turn a season round. And it's, for them, it'll be a season of two halves. But at the same time, I think the fact that a manager has been able to have that time with the squad to just say, right, we need to iron out all of these. We can't be getting drummed 9-0 by anybody. Even if it's not the best team, that just can't happen anymore. And they've gone back to basics. And he's done more than steady the ship, because as you're saying, they're sitting there ninth now. Do you know what I mean?
They're above Arsenal.
It says it all. And considering how the hopes that they had for themselves this season. So I'm quite confident that we're going to go out and do the job. But, you know, from a neutral perspective, you kind of got to give Southampton a little bit of credit for what they have done.
Right, well, that's their credit given to them. We're going to talk about Liverpool and stuff now, but before we do, I did promise you that actually, before we get into it, Paul will be giving an update on his football index portfolio. He's got some exciting things planned, so check this one out.
Hello everyone, it's the Football Index Update. I am Paul Machen and I have been set a £1,000 challenge by the people at Football Index to put into a portfolio. The proceeds that are generated from this will be going to a charity of our choice, and so far, so good. You can see, if you're watching this on screen, our portfolio cost us £800.33, yes, and it's currently valued at £823.87, which is up £23.54. Kai Havertz, who I was very, very keen to get rid of this week, has finally turned the corner. He's got 72 pence worth of dividends as well, which is always good to see. So he's finally on the up. Curtis Jones is flying up from £2.11 to £2.46, which means our total portfolio value of Curtis Jones is up to £16.80, which is great. Trent Alexander-Arnold is absolutely flying, as you'd expect, because he's just world class. He's up once again from £6.90 when we brought him in to £7.16. Not performing so well, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, despite the fact that he scored against West Ham. Joe Gomez, which is absolutely baffling, given that he's in the form of his life. And Sadio Mane, we know he's injured at the moment, so that will have had a little bit of a negative impact because he can't get on the pitch and he can't perform. The moves I think we're going to make next time, we're going to give it one more and we're going to see how we get on through the break. I'm going to bring Mo Salah in at the next possible opportunity, and I think it's time that we probably move Joe Gomez on, and then we'll have a little conversation about Sadio Mane as well. And I think from an outside chance, I'm probably going to bring Timo Werner in. But yes, am I going to do that now? No, because do I have the courage of my convictions on this? No, we'll have to see whether my bottle returns in the coming days. But listen, that is the portfolio update so far. Thank you very much for everyone's suggestions. Keep them coming in. What should I be doing? Which players should I be bringing in? And from looking at what we've done so far, do you think it's a good idea to move on Joe Gomez? Because I can't see how he's ever going to increase. Because unless he starts banging goals in. Yeah. Yeah, other than that, I don't really know. But yeah, comments below, please. And also make sure you head over to the Football Index YouTube channel. Check out my podcast appearance over there from a couple of weeks ago. Really, really good stuff. Really fun. Some more insight into the world around Redmen TV, Liverpool Football Club, et al. Other than that, back to the show.
Right, okay, so we're going to talk about Liverpool now, Adam. A few little things that I want to talk about. Is this the game for Fabinho to come back in?
It is, yeah.
It is? Yeah. Okay, I'm surprised.
I think it is. I think it's probably for Oxlade-Chamberlain as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sort of on the final word show we've just done, I was sort of bigging up Ox and saying he needs to run on the side. I do think he also needs to be managed a bit, and you know, he has come back from injuries. I think in this game, you bring Fabinho in, and if he's still as rusty as he has been in the last couple, you let Henderson and Wijnaldum sort of carry him for the game and get him back up to the speed of Premier League football, because we're going to need this lad. I think Fabinho comes in, and I think Keita gets some minutes off the bench at some mm-hmm. point as well. I hate to see both of them just come back into the starting lineup. I think that would be too much of a risk after their layoffs. But yeah, I think Fabinho does come back in, and I think it's for Oxlade-Chamberlain.
For Ox, okay. And what about Ben? If I then said, look, we know Origi's had some cramps. We think it was looked like a hamstring thing when he does go off against West Ham midweek. But Klopp's come out and said it was cramps. If Origi's not ready to go, is it as simple as throw Ox over onto that left-hand side, or would you be thinking about Keita or whatever?
Essentially, for me, I mean, where's Adam Lallana? You know, like that's where I'm thinking. I think he'd be a good player for this game. You know, and whether that's on the left of a 4-2-3-1 or on the left of a 4-3-3. You know, you can kind of, when you don't have a Origi and Mane, suddenly, you know, the conversation about what formation you play and what system you play becomes a little bit more unpredictable because you've not got those players there. The Origi is obviously always the general solution to one of the front three being out. You know, you can pretty much guarantee that he's just going to be dropped in there. I don't think Oxlade-Chamberlain's as effective from a wide position. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot more debate to be had there. And that's why I think that if Origi isn't fit, the concept of a 4-2-3-1 becomes more of a real possibility, because even though you're still technically playing wide players, they're not playing as wides, and they're not wide players in the traditional sense. They're more productive, you know, in terms of
right and left mid.
Right and left mid. Yeah, I think that there is a word I'm looking for. I don't know what it is. I can't remember. It'll come to me later. But I think that maybe is where Chamberlain or Lallana, or you know, we've seen Keita do it at times, where they play on the left or the right of a three. So it does depend. But also you've got Minamino in there as well.
So that might
be the wild card that he decides to throw in if he wants to play Minamino wide.
I think it'll be Minamino if he really isn't ready.
Yeah. But again, I've not seen enough of Minamino, to be fair, but I'm not as sure that he's going to be as strong from a wide position. I already feel like his path is going to be down the middle for Liverpool. So is he going to be trusted?
When you were describing that position, Ben, all I could think about is how Coutinho used to play that left-hand side.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I think Minamino might be quite suited to that, almost like a 10 who comes inside from a wide starting point. And maybe that's where we see Minamino, but we spoke about it on the final word show, actually, you know, is he going to be that number 9 Minamino, something like that? I think for this game, certainly, you'll be looking at Firmino and Salah have got to start. Yep. The talking points about left forwards. But he chose to rest Trent during the game against West Ham. You know, I think at some point we need to start to think about when a Robbo and when a Trent going to start getting some rest in their legs, because they've played an incredible amount of minutes with hardly any rest. Is this a game where you think maybe you could rest one of them?
Potentially it might be a game, but in the next, we've got a spell now of 6 games where for us, if we get maximum points out of these next 6 games, we've pretty much got it locked off where we're going to win the league. So I think Klopp, and Klopp's a clever man, he obviously knows that. So I think if he thinks he can just get over that little line in his own head with the squad that he's got, with the players that have been up to speed at this point, then after that point, he can then start giving the people that need the rest, because if we don't always win the game, we've already won. We don't have to always win the battle because we've already won the war now.
He's got the winter break as well, you know, in terms of, obviously, we all know what
his plans
are. Yeah, we all know what his plans are for the cup game next week. And actually, if he didn't have the replay, there's potentially a conversation to be had about Curtis Jones in here somewhere, but obviously he's going to play on Tuesday, so I doubt he'll be involved. But
I don't even know about that, you know. I don't know whether Curtis Jones plays.
I think he said he was going to. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. Like, I know what he's saying about some senior players.
Because he's part of the first team squad. I think he might give him.
It makes very little sense to me for him to not play Curtis Jones in that game.
He should be the captain. He should definitely captain that side.
But you know, for argument's sake, let's say he will. You know, but what I'm saying is that he's going to utilise this 2 week break properly, and then you're right, as you said, he's going to get opportunities probably to rotate as we do wrap up the league and we do begin to look at the Champions League as well. He'll begin to rotate those players when we have to balance those games again, and I think actually in the very short term, he'll be saying to the likes of Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, maybe Jordan Henderson and Wijnaldum, who played a lot of football as well, just get through this Saturday, and then there's a 2 week break. You know, you're going to have a week off, and then maybe we're going to do some warm weather training, but just give me what you can for this next 90 minutes, and then it does lighten up, you know, for the next couple of weeks.
And I think they can see that as well as the players. They're starting to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for themselves, really, and all that pressure of, is it your year? Are you going to... Once it's mathematically done, they don't have to answer any more questions. What I mean? And they can then just focus on the next task, which is obviously the what Klopp's geared them up to do anyway, which is what you're saying there about the Champions League and then the rotation. And I think they'll be, obviously, because it's wrapped up and it's done, obviously they're going to be elated, but they're going to be happy in themselves to be like, right, I can afford the rest now because there's not that pressure, there's not that thing hanging over me. That's done, and we can actually start looking forward to the next trophy that we could potentially win, and it's more of a new challenge thing. So it's about keeping my body fit and healthy and ready, and when it's my time again to go, we go again.
So there's a couple of records. It seems like every week, Adam, we're approaching one of these records at the moment, doesn't it? And before we get into what Liverpool could do, Southampton have won their last four away games, which is quite interesting. But Liverpool have won their last 19 Premier League home games. Only City have done more in the Premier League era, and they managed 20. So we're about to equal their Premier League record if we win this game. It's every week though now, isn't it? And you know, you don't doubt that Liverpool can go and do this.
No, I don't. Like, Southampton are in great form and they're a good side. And so I'm going to sort of echo/repeat what these have already said. The fact that the manager was given the time to turn this round is phenomenal, and Southampton deserve a lot of credit. And if they were one of the best teams in the world, I might be worried. I don't even know if I would be. If this was any team in the world at the minute, the form we're in and the way we're playing, I expect us to win the game. But it is Southampton, and they are a limited side, and they're in form, but they're not the team that we are. And our players, knowing they've got that two week break coming afterwards.
No matter who you are at the moment,
give your all in this game. Yeah. You can go 100%.
We're going to match that record. We're going to win this game.
No matter who you are at the moment, Southampton, you know, they're a good Premier League side and they're in good form. But it's such a daunting task to come to Anfield, in terms of, you just know the gulf between you and the team that you're playing is on another level. And you stood in that tunnel, and you stood, and you walk out in front of all those fans. And you go. It's a cliche, but you're beaten before you walk out on the pitch.
No, it's at Anfield.
You're beaten before you walk out on the pitch at the moment. And City went through a period like that over the last couple of seasons where it was the same. I'm not sure that they've got, you know, there's a couple of chinks in their armour showing now. But right now, you're a Southampton player. You're somebody like Jack Stevens or something like that. You know, and you're line up alongside Virgil van Dijk, Mo Salah. Just go home.
Yeah, and that's what teams have been doing. We spoke about this on the Final Word show against West Ham. It's exactly what West Ham did. Teams are beaten before they've come out at the moment. And that's what seems to be everyone's problem. But, you know, how do you go about it? Do you go and try and get 3 points against us and get hit on the counter-attack? Or do you just roll over and let us tickle your tummy?
Well, when I was saying, to be obviously on the Final Word, it's about context. I think this is one of them games where Southampton can afford to give us a game.
Yeah,
because now they've got themselves into that place of safety. They can see how far are. It's like a measuring stick, and how far are we off the best team in the world? And the only way to find that out is by trying to give them a game of footy. And I think Southampton are one of those teams that could set up in that way. But as you said before, you could end up like a Leicester and get slapped 4-1.
And Hasenhüttl knows that if he does come and get beat 9-0, he's probably not going to lose his job. So he might just throw the dice and go, like, let's try and
do something,
you know,
different. Might as
well. Well, look at Watford. You know, look, Watford took us by surprise, really, because they came in and had a go. I think we're going to look at. I think we're looking at a very similar game to how the Watford game went, in the sense of, you know, we do expect us to win, but in terms of, you'll have them very organised defensively, and then they'll be set up to try and just nick a goal. And Watford, you know, they had the chances to do that. That's the game that sticks out to me at the moment over the course of the season, about how, you know, Liverpool have just rocked up, got under a little bit of pressure, but ultimately done what everybody expected them to do and win.
And if those Watford chances would fall to a Danny Ings, I'd fancy Danny Ings to put one of them in the back.
Yeah, he's
a
good player. I liked it last season when he couldn't play against us when he was on loan.
He'll get a good reception as well, you know.
Yeah, he will do.
He's very, very popular amongst the Liverpool fans, isn't he?
Klopp was talking about him midweek.
He'll want a good game anyway, but it is.
Okay, so preferred 11's time then, because we've got to wrap up shortly. Is anyone doing anything a little bit strange, or are we all just go hoping that Origi plays, throwing him on the left-hand side, and then is anyone doing anything different?
I'm putting Fabinho in with Henderson and Wijnaldum.
Me and too, and I'm three. If we're doing actual preferred, even if Origi's ready, I want to see Minamino.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing Minamino if Origi's not, but I would have just kept the Ox and just got one more game out of him, because he's going to get a two-week break, and then bring Fabinho back in with the full group after that.
There's benefits to everything, you know. I don't think Oxlade-Chamberlain's going to be particularly tired. Yeah. I don't think that's an issue, fitness, and maybe it'll do him good to just have another game. You know, he's been on an extended run of starts now that's doing him good. So there's definitely benefits to him.
And he'll probably be fuming if he gets dropped after the one game he performed.
But I just feel like, given the 2 week break, I want Fabinho to have a few more minutes in the legs before then. Have some time to switch off and go again after the winter break.
I think for me, I know Minamino plays against Everton and after Anfield, but he's played against Wolves away from home, he's played against Shrewsbury away from home. I think you, from a mental standpoint, integrating him into the first team in a home game before he goes away and has time to think about what's happened, I think that might be a good opportunity for us to almost put our arm around him and go, you are part of this squad, mate. You know, everyone's going on holiday now, but you've got your first game at Anfield, so I'd maybe be looking to bring in Minamino as well. Sure. Other than that, the midfield about stays the same. Dead quickly then, we're going to do rival fixtures. We're really more looking at second to fifth here than anything else, but Leicester play Chelsea. Errol, who wins that game?
Leicester.
Okay. Ben, Man United, Wolves. Give me some good news.
Wolves.
Adam, Burnley, Arsenal.
Draw.
Why is that on the rival fixtures?
We're looking at second. Okay.
Arsenal are in Arsenal the bottom 10th. Half. Aren't
you do Spurs versus Man City then.
Man City. We'll finger them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. That has been the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. Don't forget to check out Adam Rowe. His tour is about to start. It's adamrowe.co.uk/shows.
Yeah, going all over the place. Leeds, Manchester, Bristol, Brighton, Birmingham, Glasgow, Liverpool, obviously. I'm coming all over the place. And there you go. I didn't mean that.
What we like to see.
Didn't mean that. Did not mean that. You're both horrible, horrible people. awful. And my level of humour is slightly above that.
More advanced than that.
So if you do want to come and see some comedy that isn't... I was about to say none of it's about cum, but that's not true. Either. There's some cum in it and some non-cum.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
What a plug.
What a plug. I've been to see him. I saw him in Liverpool in October, I think it was. It was one of the funniest nights out I've had in so long. Like, took the wife along, she pissed herself laughing, and I pissed myself laughing. About 1,000 people were just wetting themselves. The support act was brilliant, but you know.
I should plug that as well. I'm trying to plug it everywhere. I'm doing a new weekly podcast called Have a Word. It's on Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. It's the Have a Word podcast with Adam Rowe and Dan Nightingale. And Dan Nightingale's the guy who opened for me that night. It's gone really well. If you want to check out the new podcast, get that downloaded.
Yeah, it's brilliant as well. But anyway, thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for subscribing to the Red Men TV. Drop a like on the video and we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.